There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Yes, yes. Welcome in. It's the Tim McKernan Show podcast. Jackson, we are in the Longo Big Studios. It's March 19th, 2024. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jackson Bennett Burkett with you on a program. And today, maybe the first part of a two-parter?
Yeah, I like that.
And something a little different. Last week's podcast was titled what?
To Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit.
Is that what it was titled?
Yeah. Those four words, or that one name and those two other words.
Okay. Now, if you are not familiar with who she is, I envy you. And here is why. This has nothing to do with a liberal or conservative perspective. It just means you are completely unplugged from following politics.
Yeah.
And that, therefore, I envy. To the reason why I used that line on last week's sode was because perhaps you have seen the, I don't know if it's a GIF, meme, I guess both are going around, of Joe Biden walking in to the chamber to deliver the State of the Union. It's so good every time I say it. It's so funny.
It's so funny.
State of the Union, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a congresswoman from Georgia. She's a big Donald Trump supporter, is standing there and walks up to him wearing her all red and Make America Great Again hat. And he comes walking down to go deliver the speech and sees her and his eyes get big and he like has this reaction like, whoa, what in the hell?
Yeah.
And the reason why the title of the podcast sowed was to Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit was actually sincere in that there were hundreds of people in that chamber who felt the way Marjorie Taylor Greene felt and feels the way Marjorie Taylor Greene feels, but at least to Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit, she didn't like talk a big game in like secret little areas of the conclave. She walked up, dressed up in the whole gear.
Full regalia.
And President Biden sees it and goes, whoa.
Yeah.
And so I said last week to set the stage for this that I got an email from someone who I think is speaking for not a majority of the TMA audience at all. And I guess that's fortunately, but I think a healthy percentage of the TMA audience and a healthy percentage of the TMA audience listens to this podcast. And so I appreciate what this person wrote, even if I disagree with it, because to this person's credit, at least this person had the balls to, quote unquote, walk up to me and voice that which I think a lot of people believe as well. But even though I've offered up $150 now for like 6 months, no one has actually sent in and put their name on. So, in a rare, actually, of any of the shows that I host, Moment, TMA, Balloon Party, or the Tim McKernan Show podcast, Jackson and I had a bit of a show prep meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Really alarming, uncomfortable.
First one in history.
Candid, I think it was the first one in 20 years, in which I read these emails to Jackson and then told him what the situation would be to get his feel for it. And you're on board, and you think it will be what?
A good, earnest conversation, something, you know, a lot of times when you write via email, when you correspond via email or text or any other kind of public platform that isn't speaking to one another, things can get a little bit, you know, you can talk a certain way, phrase it, edit it. Whereas if you have a conversation with someone, whether it be on the phone or in person, you just have like a better feel of like the person. Like, I just feel like you're much able to get your point off. They're better to absorb the point and then respond.
Right. I just would be very surprised if it allows me to not only say what I have to say, which I think will set the record straight, right, and also I think present not only the truth, but also maybe when somebody who's kind of going to be able to represent whatever percent of the audience it is, and I have any number I'd throw out would be completely arbitrary, but to hopefully answer those questions. Right. So to this gentleman's credit, he sent an email for QFTA on March 4th. Jackson and I are doing this on March 19th. And then I will read the exchange, and then it will set the stage for part two, in which this gentleman is a guest via the phone line, and he will be able to ask whatever questions he would like, and then we will play that for the audience. So there you go. All right, Jackson, here is the email that got the whole thing going. And in van, two and one. Tim, I hear you say repeatedly that you are, quote, not in charge of TMA, that this perception dates back to when you bought time on Bert Kaufman station before the move to KFNS, and then eventually you were landing on the great 105.7 HD2 airwaves. Whether you mean to or not, you give off a tell that it really bothers you. That's the end of the first paragraph. I guess I'll go paragraph by paragraph. You know what? I'll read the whole thing, then I'll go paragraph by paragraph. I believe it boils down to semantics. Most of the questions that you receive in which you reply that you, quote, don't own the station or, quote, not in charge, are ones that generally make sense to me for you to field. Mind you, not that I would ask you these questions myself. But consider that, despite your assertions, you are more or less the star of the show. Ring the gong, Doug. Even if you don't like that label, you're certainly wearing the C on your sweater. You have been the only constant in the lineup since day one. I imagine that, but I'm not sure. I know you'll be able to quickly clarify or correct. You bring in more ad dollars than the rest of the dais. And when you're out, it's obvious that the quality of the show drops, and possibly the time spent listening drops correspondingly. Lastly, when KMOX came calling, they were calling on you and not the rest of the show's roster to come over to their 50,000 watts. All that to say, you saying you're, quote, not in charge, while technically true, is BS. I would argue that if you truly wanted something to change on TMA, you could heavily influence it to happen. Obviously, money is money, and you can't just make Hubbard hire someone to add to your already loaded roster. But if you wanted the format to change, or you wanted X person out and Y person in, I would believe that John Kiowski, who is the market manager for Hubbard Radio St. Louis, or Tommy Mattern, who is in charge of operations here, would take your recommendation seriously. All that to say, please stop acting as if some of these questions you're receiving are ridiculous. It'd be far more accurate for you to say that you either don't want the proposed change to happen, or you're not willing to ask for it. Thanks, that came from the Bard of Lombard. So when I read the email to Jackson, what was your reaction?
My reaction was there was a lot in there that was like, it was asked in like a manner, or not asked, but like broken down kind of analytically. And there was some, but then there was other times where it's just things got ramped up, one could say, you know, like, you know, just things that were like, you know, it got a little ad hominem, a little personal dig. And, you know, that's why I think, again, a phone conversation is going to be so much more of a
right. And then I'll provide more context, because we had multiple email exchanges that led to, hey, I would like to have this person on. And then he responded to that today. And I will wrap up our email exchange with that. And he's on board with it. But again, to go back to the to Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit, I am of the opinion that this guy is not one person saying slash thinking this.
Right.
And so therefore, as an opportunity to set the record straight, not only will I set the record straight, but then allow him to hear it and then have, you know, a conversation.
Right.
Now, it's still not going to like save the world, so to speak. No. The world being, you know, the perspective on this. But at least it will be an opportunity for a conversation. Because I really don't know how this has come to pass. I just know that it's there. To go through this initial email, that it began when we bought time on Bert Kaufman Station before the move to KFNS and then eventually our landing on 105.7. We actually were at KFNS with this show from 2004 to 2007, although Martin had left in 2006. Producer Joe was fired in 2006, and the cat was fired on like New Year's Day or January 3rd, 2007. And then we went to 1380, and that's when Doug joined the show in 2007. And Joe came back, and the cat came back. And then we went to KFNS again, 2010 to 2013. And that is where we get to the Bert Kaufman, which was CBS Sports 920. But initially, it was just WGNU. And I think he ran something, Jackson. I believe the official format title was called Urban Talk.
Okay.
That's what it was called, Urban Talk. And we brokered that time Monday through Friday from Bert Kaufman, who was the owner of the station, 5 days a week for what I would consider to be a healthy amount of money even now, but certainly then. And so in that particular case, I know that I was not fully in charge. Who was in charge? The owner of the station. But I also know that the perception was that I was in charge, but I was not. I don't want to say I get frustrated. I have a tough time with people not understanding how if you don't own something and operate it, then how you can be in charge.
Right.
I think that's maybe where the disconnect is.
Mm-hmm.
So saying Bert Kaufman owns the station is not made up. Bert Kaufman's name was on the line. I think it was an LLC, and he was the majority of an LLC with one other guy. But I don't, therefore my name's not on the license. And therefore, for example, when we went through the Albert Pujols, Jack Clark thing in 2013, that was not me. And people, oh, you're just saying that. It's been 11 years. I mean, I'm not like covering up. Bert's no longer with us. You know, I mean, they were going after the radio station because they were going to go after somebody in addition to the show. And what the way that it was portrayed in the newspaper, and therefore I think is why there was threats of litigation, is that this is a new station and the station is trying to get attention for itself by having somebody come on and say something.
Right.
And that, I think, is why Albert and Deidre, I think perhaps more so Pujols, came after it, because they thought it was just somebody trying to get attention for their new business, which it just absolutely wasn't. And I'll take 50 million lie detectors on that. But either way, I didn't control it. I have never owned a radio station. I doubt I will ever own a radio station. At this point in history, I don't know why I would own a radio station. I'm not saying that outside of just what I think most people, I think maybe I'm wrong, would say that stands to reason. And so that's the first paragraph. And he says, I believe it boils down to semantics. Most of the questions that you receive in which you reply that you, quote, don't own the station or are not in charge are ones that generally make sense to me for you to field. Mind you, not that I would ask you these questions myself. And again, I'm saying this, you know, just sincerely. And however it comes off, I suppose it comes off. But I just respectfully disagree. I don't sign people's paychecks. I don't own the business. Tommy Mattern does not own the business. John Kiowski does not own the business. Hubbard owns the business. And anybody who has owned a business and anybody who has been an employee of a business knows that there is a difference. And I am an employee. And there's not a gray area on that. But for somehow, that I think has been one of the things that has taken place. Now, I still continue to go back to, it's interesting, and this we'll get back on track. I'm committed to actually doing like a real conversation here with you, Jackson, and then with this gentleman when he joins us for part two. I was with Courtney Landrum on Friday, played golf with her, one of my favorite people in the building, truly, for real. And we were getting done, and we had had a drink and we're walking out and bullshitting, and Keith Krause, who is our director of sales, and Marty Link, who's in charge of programming for Casey and 106.5 The Arch, were there, and we're wrapping up and walking out. And I said, I got this weird thing. Riz and I were talking about it with our audience, because I've said it before. I can't tell. I don't know if they know if they want to fuck me or if they want to kill me. And I don't know, you know? It's a weird deal. And Courtney was laughing, and she goes, it's interesting. I felt the most support ever when we got let go from Y98, which happened 4 years ago, 4 years and change ago. And I go, that's interesting to me, because the most support I have ever felt, do you know when?
2013.
100%. Yeah. Without question. 2013, and I say 2013, and you say 2013, as if we know it. Everybody knows what that means. 2013 was when the public, because again, the way that it was written, was saying that we were being fired. In reality, Dan Marshall was not firing us. He was trying to put our show with Frank Cusimano's show. I don't know which one was, you know, more of a mistake, but either way, that's what was really going on. And we obviously weren't, I mean, I say obviously, but we weren't going to stay there for that. We knew it wouldn't work. Frank wouldn't have been on board with it either. Frank does one thing, we do another thing, and it doesn't mean that one's better than the other. It's just they're two different things that really shouldn't be mixing. But the audience saw that, thought that, you know, their show was being messed with, and rallied to the support of the show. Where I feel the relationship with the audience changed was when my contract was made public in 2016. So that's 8 years ago. And again, that's not the moment, but I think that was like the biggest impactful moment. And just to be real straightforward, this is something that I have said to Jackson a number of times. I don't know if I would say it wears on me, because in the whole scheme of things, it doesn't impact, you know, my day-to-day life when I'm with my wife or my kids. But it's one thing if it's like, yeah, I did screw up, and I'm still, even if it's been however many years, I'm paying for it. And that just kind of comes with it, and that sucks. And you can name whomever that still has some unfortunate moment attached to them. But when you feel like the negativity is in the shadows, and no one really presents why there exists this negativity, it's just it's something that I guess I've grown tired of, would be the best way to describe it. And maybe there'll come a time that I'm ready to do something else. And in part, it would be just because I'm like, yeah, I'm not what you, I whatever problem you may have. I don't know what to tell you outside of you're not right about it, but nobody wants to be told they're not right. So but at the same time, I don't necessarily know what it is. Are you just unhappy because you're thinking I make a lot of money? Or are you unhappy because of you feel like I should, you know, change something on the show? I don't know. All I know is in 2013, I couldn't have had more support. And starting in 2016, as an individual, not necessarily as the show, but as an individual, I am in part, again, with a portion of the audience, persona non grata. Now, I want to make this clear. Anybody who is in my spot or in Riz's spot, and if you want to take it to a much, much bigger level, you want to go Howard Stern, like, I mean, you're talking about big time. Right. This comes with the territory of being in this kind of career, and you accept it. You don't necessarily know it when you're going into it, but once you're into it, you understand that that is the deal, whether you like it or not. And but I think it's different to just go, like for example, the crap we get on Balloon Party. It's like, okay, whatever. But when it's the TMA audience, and I'm going, I don't know what the deal is here. But, you know, there's something there. And I'm going, if anything, I have sacrificed to keep the show going. But then it's like, oh, well, then if I talk about that, oh, you have so much money. I don't know. I mean, if you want me to tell the story, then the story does include me giving money, like bounties, for people to get their jobs back. That's a real part of the story. There'd be plenty of people, there'd be checks that would confirm that on the off chance somebody thinks I'm making it up. It's literally in my contract here that I gave back X number of dollars for Darren Atkins. And I don't know, to come here, otherwise they weren't going to hire him. They may have at some point, but they certainly were not coming out of the gate. It would have been Jackson running the board and me, Iggy, and Doug. That's what it was going to be. And so these are real things. And so that part is a real part of this. And you know what? Another thing, I'm sure there's some people listening to this going, well, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. So it might be sounding strange to those who aren't familiar with it. But that is why I say, to Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit, along the same lines with this email. But here he is saying, you can say you don't own the station, you're not in charge, but it makes sense for me, for you to field these questions. And when before we started this podcast, Jackson said, well, and please correct me if sure. I'm wrong, but you said, you can view Nolan Arenado as an important part of the team, but he doesn't own.
Yeah. Name your favorite athlete and whatever team they play on. They don't own the organization. They might be able to have a more, the front office management might have different conversations with them than they would a rookie. But at the end of the day, they are employees. They have contracts. And once those contracts are over or negotiations and stuff, like, they have to deal with that. And so you might love Nolan Arenado or Albert Pujols in his prime and think he could run the station. We talk about Yadier Molina parking in the center field. At the end of the day, they are employees. They do not run the team. Even John Mozeliak doesn't run the
right.
team.
Right, which is why when any time complaints come around about the Cardinals, and even though I say I think Bill DeWitt will go down as one of the greatest owners, if not the greatest owner in St. Louis sports, truly believing that, not looking for a job with the Cardinals, I mean, when it's all said and done, John Mozeliak has not taken over the organization. Bill DeWitt is the chairman of the organization. He is the owner of the organization. That's where the decisions are made. Yeah. So you don't. But Mozeliak becomes the face, and so he gets the hate. And I'm not saying that the way that they handle things is right. I personally would handle things the way that they have handled a lot of things over the last decade in particular. But there's a clear understanding that if you don't like, say, the Ali Marmol extension, you're not yelling about Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So I don't know, but I don't think that goes on to the extent with the Riz show or Courtney. But at the same time, Riz has never operated a station to keep his show going, and Courtney had never operated a station to keep her show going. And by the way, I'm not saying, well, why didn't they do that? Well, they didn't do it because one was on 105.7 The Point, and one was on Y98 up until 4 years ago when she joined 106.5 The Arch. So she didn't have to. That was it. My choice was TMA comes to an end, or, you know, Doug isn't going to do it because Doug's got a job at KMOV, and the Cat isn't going to do it because Cat's got a job at what was Fox Sports Midwest. And I have the infrastructure for Inside STL, but that still didn't mean I didn't own KFNS. I didn't own 920. I sure as hell don't own Hubbard. And unless you own, or unless it specifically says in your contract, you dictate. But no company is ever going to give me that power because that means I'm now controlling their dollars.
Right.
Because you're going to have to dictate what they get paid.
Yeah.
You know?
If a company were to give you that power, you'd have to then question said company.
You can have it in there, I suppose, that it's a mutual agreement on who is on the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
That's... Like I could say, oh, I really want, you know, I don't know, take your pick of whomever. Right. And they're like, okay, we like him too, but he wants X and we're not paying him X, so let's find somebody else. That's the way that would work. Anyway, we're only on the second paragraph. But consider that, despite your assertions, you are more or less the star of the show. Ring the gong, Doug. Even if you don't like that label, you're certainly wearing the C on your sweater. And I'm saying this again, I hope it's coming off this way. If it isn't, it isn't. This is the Bard of Lombard saying that I'm certainly wearing the C on my sweater. That's you can say it, but just because you're saying it, it doesn't make it so.
Right.
and people may disagree with that, but that is there aren't like group meetings for our show, you know. That's just, you know, there isn't like a post show, a pre show. I don't even know when the last time the five of us, just the five of us, have met about the show.
Been a while.
I don't know if it's happened.
Not all five of us, no. Like there was the time where we
me,
decided
you, Doug, and Iggy in 2021.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, here is the situation. Here is what we got. What do you guys want to do?
Right.
And if three of you want to do this and I want to do that, then I'm going to go with you guys. Mm-hmm. That's the way that we're going to do this. But we're not walking out of here until we all are in agreement. So it would be unanimous.
Right.
And so that's, I mean, I realize people could say you're making that up, as in you, Jackson, but Doug and Iggy would confirm that happened. We could all go back to our exact seats where we met to have that conversation in November of 2021. Let's see. Wearing your suit. You've been the only constant in the lineup since day one. That part is accurate. I'm not saying the rest of this is inaccurate. I'm just going through this like to set the record straight. I imagine that, but I'm not sure. I know you'll be quick to clarify it correct. You bring in more ad dollars than the rest of the dais. And yeah, that would also be correct, but I also, because I have played a role in operating the stations slash the show since 2010, that I have a lot of the relationships with the sponsors. And that's just something that, you know, I consider to be the most important part of the job. And anybody who gets into this industry, boy, I'll tell you, that's the first chapter of the book. But yes, I do. But again, just because I may wear the C and I may bring in more money, that does not give me control. And so each time we go through a line, I don't know who would dispute that. So if I'm the quote unquote most valuable, which is subjective, but if you assign value to brings the most money, which I would actually agree with, I wouldn't necessarily say most talented, but talented is subjective. The dollars, those are objective. And everybody on the show would agree with that. I guess not everybody on the show is privy to the dollars. But I think it would be, you know, obvious if you listen to the show. Then, okay, if I'm the most valuable, then fine. Let's say that. Great. I'll agree with that just to play along. But then that still does not give me control. Paul Goldschmidt was the most valuable player in the National League, but that did not give him the final vote on the direction of the Cardinals or Major League Baseball or the National League, as the case might be. I imagine that. Let's see, that was about the ad dollars. I know you'll be quick to clarify or correct. You bring in more ad dollars than the rest of the dais, and when you're out, it's obvious that the quality of the show drops. Respectfully, I would say that's subjective. I'm sure there are plenty of people who would say, it's nice not to have Tim there. You know, I don't know the numbers on that, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who are like, oh, it's nice not to have Tim there. And possibly the time spent listening drops correspondingly. I can't speak to that because that data does not exist. And I know people might go, of course it exists. It actually does not exist. I suppose you could look at downloads for that day, but the downloads are automatically downloaded. I suppose you get YouTube views.
Yeah, you can get average view duration on that.
That might be.
But I've never looked at that.
Lastly, when KMOX came calling, they were calling you and not the rest of the show's roster to come over to their 50,000 watts. That part was true, but you know, I think you also when you look at the landscape of TMA, were they going to call Jackson? I'm not doing this like. I'm not doing that to you. I'm not doing that to the Bard of Lombard. No, you were 3 months in, I think, when I got that phone
22
call.
Years old.
Okay, 20. Yeah, I mean, that'd be weird. I mean, they'd be somebody get fired if they said, hey, Rush Limbaugh's out. Let's bring
Did
in
you
this
call
guy.
The wrong guy.
We really like.
We called the wrong Jackson. He showed up for work. That'd be great. That's a good bit, though.
Doug would be the first one to say it. Just like in 20 years, I'll be the first one to say it. You're not going to hire somebody for a job like that who is in their 60s. And at that time, Doug was 60. It's not my place to say what Doug was. But, you know, he's in his 60s. It's just not the way that it's going to most likely work. Also, he was not like the person who brings it in and out of break, and nor was he really looking for that. Iggy had not been an on-air person throughout his career, and the Plowhawk had been a board operator. So, yes, they did call me, but that doesn't mean that I'm like,
yeah. Again, it doesn't
better.
Mean you're in charge.
And then I guess that's where we need to go with it, because that doesn't, just because of that doesn't make me in charge. Like, just like Doug was doing KMOV. That didn't make him in charge. And I know you might go, well, what's that got to do with anything? And I kind of say, well, what does KMOX have to do with anything? Or if another outlet pursues me, it still doesn't change the fact that I'm not in charge. All that to say, I'm going back to reading, all that to say, you saying you're, quote, not in charge, while technically true, is BS. I would argue that if you truly wanted something to change on TMA, you could heavily influence it to happen. Obviously, money is money, and you can't just make Mother Hubbard hire someone to add to your already loaded roster. But if you wanted the format to change, or you wanted X person out and Y person in, I would believe that John Kiyosky or Tommy Madden would take your recommendations seriously. I would agree with the part of they would take my recommendations seriously. For example, I believe Jay Randolph Jr. was going to be hired to be a part of this show. I think we talked about it on the air. So this isn't just like, oh, I can conveniently say it now that he's not around. I think we talked about it on the show. We did talk about it?
Yeah.
Did we really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, God bless. I can remember again, because my fucking mind's so weird, sitting at the restaurant with Tommy and talking about it and saying, I just really think that that's, the audience loves Jay and all of us on the show love Jay. It doesn't cause any bullshit off air. It just, the show is better. Everybody's in a better mood when he's on. It's just great. So if there is an addition, and this was like in the first few months, because things were going well in 2021, that was the direction we were going to go. And I would have loved it. Holy shit. And I know Doug would have absolutely loved it. And Plowhawk and Iggy and you would have loved it too. And I'm not just saying that. I'd like to think everybody kind of would agree with that. That can't be a point of contention, hopefully. And then Jay, of course, unfortunately passes away. And then KG and O-Town kind of emerges, and we're going, holy shit, this is, I still say it, I'll continue to say it. I mean, I guess this kind of speaks to, again, not being in charge, but also having an understanding of the economics of the moment.
Right.
This is what we need. We need KG and O-Town, and because we need somebody to handle social media. And Tommy was in agreement. And the plan was, as late as, I guess, last May, I think, that he would be joining us. And, you know, it's not my place, although I don't think it's necessarily a groundbreaking statement to say that things just changed with regards to the economics of the world, the U.S., whatever the case might be. And people were a little more cautious with spending. Advertisers were more cautious with spending. Well, if and when that happens, and that isn't a TMA thing, and that isn't a Hubbard St. Louis thing, and that's not a St. Louis thing, that is a nationwide thing, right around the midpoint of last year, that they went from, okay, we're going to be adding, to, holy shit, we might have to be subtracting.
Right.
That's not a reflection of KG and O-Town. That is the dollars and cents of it. And maybe I come off, however it is that some may say I come off, because I say things that I know to be a fact, and I talk about them like everybody else knows they're a fact, and maybe that's the issue with it. I don't know, but the bottom line is it doesn't change it. It is a fact. It is the truth. You may not like it, but it doesn't change that it's veracity. So. Yeah, I absolutely would say with confidence I have the ear of John Kiyosky and Tommy Madden, but that does not give me control. And that's just, there's just no other way to say it outside of that. And I completely understand it. I think some people may get confused. Well, you own the show. And that's accurate. I own the intellectual property of TMA. Inside STL Enterprises owns the intellectual property of TMA. I do not own 100% of Inside STL Enterprises. You could make a case, and there may come a time, where someone would come in, a third party, and give a valuation of that, and it might be worth like a nickel. For real. Because I know, and I know the audience doesn't know, that we're not monetizing the 24 hours of, or the 21 hours, I should say, of the best ofs.
Yeah.
It's just... We're on this random station where there isn't other programming. And so, well, as opposed to just like playing music, we know that there's an audience. It's not like it's millions of people, but an audience that wants to listen to the best ofs. I don't know if anybody on the show, I guess Darren may have listened to it because he's responsible for it. Maybe he hasn't. I have no idea. I'm 100% certain me and Doug don't drive around listening to it. I'd be shocked if you did. So, you know, it's kind of a, yeah, we'll do this. This will be a right. fun little thing, kind of like for, again, Howard Stern being an influence, having Howard 101 and Howard 100 on Sirius XM, and you can listen to it and play it whenever you want. And it's great that there are people interested enough in the show because the show isn't necessarily limited to, oh, they were talking about the Cardinals in May of 2021. This is a conversation that's evergreen and just kind of amusing. But that is not monetized. So the fact that I own the intellectual property is not like I'm sitting on some seven-figure or six-figure or maybe even five-figure value.
Right. You're not sitting on like some algorithm that's going to change the world.
Right. Here. But it's allowed us to, when we pick up and go, we own the show name. We own the drops.
Logo.
The logo, the marks, as they are called, right. to be specific when you're talking contract language, the intellectual property. But that does not give me control of anything. Doug Vaughn negotiated his own deal. I have no idea what Doug makes. I have no idea what you make. I have no idea what Iggy makes. I have no idea what the Plowhawk makes. I know a part of what the Plowhawk makes because a part of it came from my compensation, my base salary. But other than that, I don't know what his total compensation is. I have no idea. And I know that he became a full-time employee after the first year, which was significant for benefits reasons.
Right.
Other than that, I have no idea. When we were at 920, the paychecks came from inside STL. Even though we didn't own the station, we bought the time, right. and so therefore we were operating Monday through Friday. Not operating with total freedom, by the way. We couldn't just all of a sudden do whatever the hell we wanted. It had to be an agreement with the owner of the station. But people's compensation came from a check that said Inside STL Enterprises. Now our checks come from Hubbard Radio. So to me, this is my language and has been my language for 14 years. But I, you know, the questions continue to come in, and when there's people like complaining about how much Iggy talks, for example, Tim, do something, you know, it's like, I'm like, that it's not my place.
Right.
Just like if, you know, I try to draw an analogy, but let's say I'm talking about Ellerice Baby
mm-hmm.
on Instagram.
Welcome back.
Absolutely. It's great to have her back. And somebody who, you know, was uncomfortable with their genitals started sending emails to Doug saying, Doug, you got to stop him from talking about porn on the show. I know that may like make your mind explode. Well, why would I send it to Doug? Well, I say, why would you send it to me?
Right.
If you got a problem with Iggy, send it to Iggy. It's not my place. Or if you got a problem with Iggy or you got a problem with me, send it to management. I'm not management. And there's no one in this building who thinks that I am management.
Right, yeah.
But on the outside, for a portion of the TMA audience, I think that there is that thought. And so, let's see, final paragraph. All that to say, please stop acting as if some of these questions you're receiving are ridiculous. It'd be far more accurate for you to say that you either don't want the proposed change to happen or you're not willing to ask for it. And I'm just like, I don't know what to say. There's like these reality worlds that are actually not real. This isn't real. If I could completely do what I wanted to do, number one, I would live in Jupiter, Florida and do the show. Number two, we would probably start it a little bit later. And number three, KG and O-Town for sure would be a part of this, and we would have a totally different social media setup for TMA. Those are the three things right away that I would do. But I also understand why that is not the way that it is. Number one, I'm not in charge. But also, number two, there are financial ramifications to those decisions. You're adding salary for KG and O-Town at a time when they're not adding salary here. So, you know, I don't know. When I say all these things, I hope that this is providing insight. And I obviously feel strongly about it and care, although I'm not really feeling strongly about an opinion. I'm just really kind of saying, here is how things are, whether you like them or not. It's not really relevant because it doesn't change that what it is. You know, I can be uncomfortable with having male pattern baldness, but just because I don't particularly enjoy it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm going to grow hair. So this is the way that it is. And I don't know if, you know, whatever it is that someone may not like about someone on the show or the show, that then they blame me for it. If that's the root of it, but hopefully this helps clear it up. And then that's what I have to say about that. Jackson, thoughts? You just letting me go here.
Oh, it definitely. We'll give you a wide berth, yeah, maybe. But yeah, I mean, I think the analogy of the Cardinals is the best way to describe it. You know, a person can have influence. They can be, you know, the talent, the most desirable talent. They can do all the things that were listed in that to a certain extent and still work under the umbrella of being an employee, of being someone who is not, you know, there's a big difference between having influence and being in control. And at the end of the day, it's as cut and dry as that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can think this, that, or the other thing, but when your checks are coming from Hubbard and you're not signing your own checks, you are truly not in charge of your own thing there. And, you know, the misconception might stem from Inside STL owning the IP.
Yeah, I think there's something there.
I think could be a big part of it. But IP is totally different than total control. I mean, the IP is, you know, once the show is recorded, you know, and we just, if day comes we decide to go somewhere else, those recordings belong to Inside STL. But that doesn't mean that all, you know, members of the show are, we don't get paid from Inside STL. I've never worked for Inside STL. I have an Inside STL email account. That's the extent of work I do with Inside STL. But that doesn't, you know, my checks come from Hubbard. Your checks come from Hubbard. Plowsy, Iggy, Doug, all of us, you know, we all have separate deals with Hubbard.
Right.
You know, that's just how it is. I don't, like, it's tough for me to really, like, pontificate on it because it's, to me, it's like cut and dry.
Well, I wanted to, like, okay, because again, to Marjorie Taylor Greene's credit, and I'm not saying this to like mock the guy, because we had an email exchange, and I followed up, and he is willing to come on the show, and he listened to the podcast titled "To Marjorie Taylor Greene's Credit," and he found it amusing, and says he let's see, what did he write? "Finished listening to your last QFTA, where you read my question about time traveling to see the tomb of Jesus. But do you really compare me to Marjorie Taylor Greene? Wow, not a fan of hers or her brand of politics in the least. I'm not sure how to react to that, but if that's what you're getting from my questions, I sincerely apologize, and I'm going to have to give myself a long look in the mirror. I believe you used the words to the effect of patching me into the show like you did Plowboy after the Matt Carpenter signing. I'm willing, as I think words can be easily misinterpreted, or at the very least a judgment call needs to be made." Ahem. As to what someone is asking, I apologize. So yeah, you know, it's a good faith. That's what I'm saying.
Right there.
Like,
yeah.
It's, and I appreciate that. So this isn't just like, okay, we're dealing with a situation where we got, and we have, and I think the audience, if you've listened to a long time, you know that there have been occasional. These aren't like daily, and there aren't hundreds of them, but occasional situations in which it gets uncomfortable, for lack of a better term, and that's kind of a euphemism. That's not this. I wouldn't engage with that. This is somebody who I'm like, okay, I think this person is speaking for, you know, again, I don't think it's like 55% of the audience. I don't even know if it's 20% of the audience, but I think it's there.
No.
You agree with that?
Yeah, because I mean, it wouldn't come in, like, we wouldn't get questioned. Like, this is, he's not the first person to send something in,
right,
to that extent.
So I'm like, okay, then me just saying this is one thing, but then having the person come on and then having a conversation. So like, if he has a follow up, then it can happen and it can be a conversation. It's just, there's, you know, I just want the audience to know.
Right. Or at least give them put your best effort to allow them to have the information.
Right. Yeah,
because
you can't control people.
Right.
No, but right. Yeah, like, here it is. There's just, this is the way that it is. It's not all that. I mean, like, if John Kiawski were sitting here, I know, even though he is in St. Louis, the market manager, I know he doesn't operate unilaterally.
Right.
He has to report to people. That's a corporation at which I'm sure many people who are listening to this work, or even if you work in, you know, like I was starting out at Pietros. Well, there was still a chain of command. It's just the way that it works. So yeah, I appreciate the email because it put a name to, and he eventually used his name, and I don't want to give his name in case he does not want to want it out there. Although he did say, you can go ahead in a later email or an earlier email before the one this morning, that I can use his name, and that's up to him. That's, but I appreciate it because I feel like, okay, now I can have the conversation that I feel like, you know, if and when the time comes when somebody goes, oh, well, Tim obviously did that, you know, how come, you know, this, and go, yeah, I don't know what to say. That's not his thing. That was a big, the one time I will say that it was probably confusing for the audience, but peak frustration for me, I mean, if it's on a 1 to 10, it's beyond a 10, was August 2016, September 2016, October 2016, November 2016, December 2016, and January 2017, in which my contract did actually specifically say, it is, I am in charge. As things played out, I absolutely was not. And then if you're in my spot, you go, okay, well, what do you do? Because if you choose to do something about it, then you're opening up, and by do something about it, you know, litigate it.
Right.
I'm feeling anyway responsible for all of the people who came over from 920, and now we're gonna have a battle on this. So you just try to make the best of it as you can. And then when it became clear that it was absolutely unfixable, and there were a series of incidents. But then there was one where I'm like, okay, well, I'll tell you what it was when I thought my wife lost our baby who became our older son. And that was a Saturday morning, and the stress of the situation, I'm going, holy shit. We didn't think we were gonna be able to have a kid. She gets pregnant naturally. And now we lost it because we're both, the stress I'm bringing home, and she was stressed out too. She was working there as well. Did that play a role in her losing this baby? And she is on the stairs, you know, inconsolable, crying. And I'm going, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. I don't, do whatever. Don't do whatever. But it was a series of events that led to that point. And in that case, you didn't hear me. Now, I wasn't doing this podcast then anyway, but you didn't hear me, and you wouldn't have heard me say what I'm saying now, because by definition, I was in charge. Now, behind the scenes, anybody who was living that time, and then it's only a handful of people, but I wasn't. If you really want to study what went on in between those times, you'd go, yeah, what in the world was going on? But yeah, those are moves that if I were operating it, I mean, if you want to see how I operate a business, look at what we did at 920, because that's about the most, quote, control I had over a business that's in the public eye. Sound Story is more private. And I'm very proud of that. It was the happiest time as far as operating the show goes, 2014 and 2015 in particular. And it was a battle that was not easy at all. So I'm proud of it also because we were losing a bunch of money, and then we were able to turn it around and it became successful. And KFNS could have been the same thing. All we were doing is picking up the same model and applying it. And then it just, you know, unfortunately, did not work out that way. But, the thing that where I was like, okay, that's enough is, you know, I thought we lost our baby and yeah. Fortunately did not. But either way, that stress, I knew how stressed out we both were, and I probably, you know, even more. And I'm like, I cannot risk losing this child because I'm going to try to, you know, fight something that I probably can't win on anyway. So let's just fucking. And so that's why I went from, you know, what was portrayed, interestingly enough, as like my removal, when in reality, I was just like, yeah. Take it back. I literally gave back, it was such a big deal, my ownership of KFNS, which I didn't pay a cent for, and therefore I just gave it right back. There was no, yeah, give me a, you know, even whatever amount of money, nothing. Here, you have it back. I am out. I will do the show. In my mind, it's January 2017. I've got December 2021 circled. That's not a pleasant feeling, for the record, because that's about 5 years.
Yeah.
That's 59 months. And that was not easy. But our son was born in August of 2017. And here we are. But at that time, if somebody were to question things, and, well, I thought you were in charge, I'd go, yeah, I kind of don't blame you for thinking that. But now I'm just like, I don't understand. But that's why I want to allow for the conversation, because me sitting here and saying this unchallenged, I guess, maybe doesn't do any good. Maybe it causes more problems. I don't know. I feel like I don't necessarily know if I win. But it's not about winning or losing so much as just like, here's the way that it is. And your analogy on Nolan Arenado, not to say that I consider myself Nolan Arenado, but Nolan Arenado, or even if it's Miles Michaelis or Steven Matz, it doesn't matter right. What value you think I have. I'm an employee. Bill DeWitt owns the station. Hubbard owns this station. I own the intellectual property, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it's like owning your name, image, likeness.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that is now
right.
your employer.
You own yourself, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
And in this case, the IP of TMA. So if the time comes and I go, okay, I am personally done with TMA, if somebody, whether it be you or Hubbard or whomever, wants to buy it, I'm not saying it's worth $1 billion or something like that, then be my guest. But that is why we are able to pick it up no matter what station. And the thing's been at like 5 different stations. And it's a unique arrangement. It's a licensing agreement. But, you know, our checks come from Hubbard. So anyway, in sincerity, Jackson, I tip my cap to the Bard of Lombard for wearing his red hat and his red vest and walking up and, you know, doing the whole thing. Because at
there
least,
you are, Joe Biden.
At least it allows me to go, okay, you know, I feel like everybody on this side of the room is saying it and thinking it, but at least Marjorie Taylor Greene had the nerve, you know, to walk up
yeah.
and say it.
Yeah.
So part two will be Bard of Lombard joining us for what will be a phone conversation that we will record. We're not on YouTube, and we won't do that one on YouTube anyway either, to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can ask follow-up questions, and we'll just have a conversation about it. And I'm legitimately looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be great.
So there you go. Any questions, comments, thoughts are welcome. I welcome everything, obviously. I think that should be pretty obvious at this point. T. McKernan at InsideSTL.com. Thank you to our sponsors, James Carlton, Seth Goldkamp, Design Air Heating and Cooling, James Carlton, Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency. Thank you also to Munganess, St. Louis Acura, and Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. That's Jamie Burkhardt, Clayton Patterson, Peter Munganess, and Ryan Seiberg. Online at StLouisAcura.com and AltonToyota.com. And Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies. Online at evergreenstl.com. And the phone number is 314-889-0503. Jackson, how do you think this will play? Well, should we just never release this podcast? Because somehow I feel like it doesn't matter what I say or do, it's still going to be received poorly.
But even if so, and I'm not saying that's going to be the case, doing it, I think, and especially in this fashion, because we've talked about this before in this
Never had somebody Marjorie Taylor Greene it.
Right, exactly. And briefly on that, when you, like, his email response, you weren't comparing him to, like, the politics and
the behavior
necessarily.
No, and I have already
I assumed you did. I don't want to speak for you, but I assume you did.
Yeah, and I'm not, this is not a political commentary.
No.
It's all about the Joe Biden reaction, which only were, like, that couldn't have worked as well if it were like Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, for example.
No.
You know,
it's perfect that it kind of looks like your grandfather.
80-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's like perfect that he looks like he's like should give you a present on Christmas while wearing a cord sweater. Like that's why it works so well, and like that
and
she's so intense.
The camera that she's having
this.
I mean, it is
browbeating this ass too. It's
God.
So yeah, it's hilarious.
And he's just like got this smirk like. Wow, I was here when it wasn't like this. What the fuck is this?
Wow, what a time to be in politics.
But whatever. Hey, what I really mean is good for the Bard of Lombard for, you know, and then I said, hey, you know, I'm trying to use real names, and then he did, to his credit, furthermore. for asking the questions, you know, and for being, you know, and obviously some of those were pointed and I don't know, whatever. I guess some people might go, well, he's kind of been asked to you. Whatever. That's fine. I get much worse than that for sure. So it's fine. I don't mind it. It comes with the territory of the job. Somebody not liking our opinions or not liking the way we carry ourselves on the show, that to me is different than someone believing something that is factually inaccurate.
Right.
And I suppose what I am trying to do with this is to set the record straight on facts. Now, you still may not like it, or you may disagree, or you may believe I'm lying, I suppose, which would really be something else.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you do, you do. I can't control that. But all I can do is say, well, here's what happened. I can't imagine he will get into some things where I go, oh, I can't say that. You know, when it comes to Hubbard, I don't know if there's anything I really can't say. They're kind of like, I remember asking Tommy, like, he goes, fuck yeah. And I go, oh, okay. I go, well, they said, you know, because I think the numbers were like kind of flattering to TMA. And I go, well, if I would have done that at previous situations, some people might have been like, oh, you're doing that, you know, makes us look bad. And it's like, no, he goes, be proud of what you guys have accomplished. I'm like, oh, okay. And it seems healthy, you know. Riz show's the number one show. Courtney show's a huge show as well. Courtney show is number one for time as well. I mean, they should be, you know, they got huge audiences, plus they're really quality people on top of it, the whole group of both those shows. So, yeah, I'm just attempting to set the record straight. This could be something that 99% of you are like, I don't fucking know what you're talking about, and I really don't care. Can we get an erotic story? And the answer is, of course you can.
Yeah.
But we're just doing a little...
A little brief detour.
Scenic route.
Yeah.
Taking a scenic route. So email in. I welcome all emails, obviously. I appreciate when somebody puts their name on it.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate.
Absolutely.
And this person did when we followed up. I just don't want to read their name if they don't want it out there. And so I respect that. Tim McKernan at InsideSTL.com is where you can send them. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Tim McKernan Show podcast.